Amen. You know, I don't think I have ever sung that hymn before. I was finding myself questioning some of the words in that hymn. Contented, peaceful fisherman. I've never been contented and peaceful when I've been fishing because I've never caught anything. This is from our first lesson this morning. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. Isaiah was the favorite book of the first century Jews. Jesus quoted from it extensively, and Matthew, writing for a Jewish audience, wove Isaiah's prophecies about the Messiah into his gospel. Both used material from Isaiah because they were confident that their audience would recognize it. The theme of Isaiah chapter 9, which we read for our first lesson, and which we heard reprised in our second lesson, is the key to Isaiah's popularity. And it is because of his message that God is our deliverer. The historical backstory to this chapter from Isaiah is this. Moses had died before the Israelites entered the promised land, and Joshua had become their leader. Joshua had the 12 tribes draw lots. The lot they drew would determine which portion of Canaan would be theirs to conquer and to inhabit. All 12 tribes were descended from Jacob, but Jacob had sons by 4 different women. 6 of the tribes were descended from Leah, 2 from Rachel, 2 from Leah's handmaid, Zilpah, and 2 from Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. The tribe of one of Leah's sons, Zebulun, got land in the very north of Canaan, as did the tribes of Bilhah's sons, Dan and Naphtali, and Zilpah's son, Asher. The tribes named their lands after the son who was their patriarch. The lots that these tribes had drawn proved to be unlucky. There were 2 problems for the tribes which had drawn the north of Canaan. First, they were dangerously exposed to invasions by the Assyrian kings who attacked them from the northeast. And second, the original Canaanites put up a very strong resistance. And that was particularly the case with the tribe of Asher, which soon recognized that it had to compromise and make peace with those people who were already there. They had to accept that in their cities, the goal of a pure Hebrew population was not achievable. They would have to settle for a mixed population. Because of this, over time, Asher came to be known as Galilee of the Gentiles, or Galilee of the Nations. And that's how Isaiah referred to it today. Dan, Zebulun, Naphtali, and Asher were subject to waves of invasions by these powerful Assyrian kings. And these kings imposed harsh conditions on them and forced them to live as vassals. Worse yet, in 734 BC, a 20-year series of deportations began, and thousands of Jews were taken captive and forced to resettle elsewhere. They became known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. It was these waves of invasion that Isaiah described in the first verse we read today, culminating in one that was particularly brutal. Isaiah summarized the people's plight by saying that they walked in darkness. They were dwellers in a land that was as dark as death. It doesn't take much imagination for us to understand what life was like for the people that lived in Dan, Zebulun, Naphtali, and Asher. They were conquered people. Their ability to resist their conquerors had been completely stripped away. If they had anything of value, it would be taken from them. If they planted a crop and tended it until harvest, they would be forced to give it up once it was ripe. If they gave birth to children, those children would be snatched away as slaves for the Assyrians. Every hope for the future was stolen by foreign masters who had the final say. They were indeed dwellers in a land as dark as death. Their life could be compared to the life of the Jews in the ghettos in Poland under the Nazis. It's life at Auschwitz, which we've been hearing about in the news this week. It's Aleppo. It's Palmyra under ISIS. And it is also figurative. It is every human situation that has been completely stripped of hope. But, Isaiah promises, God is the deliverer. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. For emphasis, Isaiah is using the future perfect tense. When something sounds like it has happened in the past, but actually it will happen in the future. It's the force of, you may be completely sure this will happen, just as you would be if it had happened in the past. In this world of despair, oppression, vulnerability, loss, anguish, where foreign powers and foreign ways have absolute control, a light will shine. It will shine in the face of a boy born for us, a son given to us. Isn't that the longing of a dispossessed people who have nothing? This is for us. It's a gift given to us. And Isaiah prophesies, and I don't know why these verses were not included in the reading this morning. Isaiah prophesies, and I know it wasn't your fault. It's the lectionary. Isaiah prophesies, the names that you will give this gift from God will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, because this boy will be no mere human. You will be able to put your trust in him. He will not fail you. I'm reminded of Psalm 146. Put not your trust in princes, nor in any son of man, in whom there is no help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. During this season of Epiphany, we celebrate God breaking into human history. The light shines in the darkness. Being in the dark is a universal human experience. We can all relate to it. We are in the dark when we're conscious of being surrounded by evil. We are in the dark as we accept our powerlessness to control what really matters in our lives. We are in the dark when we consider our own hearts and recognize how self-centered we are. We are in the dark because we are incapable of honest self-assessment. We are in the dark because we worry and we are fearful. We are in the dark because we simply cannot bring ourselves to understand how much God loves us. We need a light that will break the rod of our oppressors, and they are many. We need a God to deliver us. But you know what? It is not enough for God's light to shine. We have to turn towards it. We have to absorb it. We have to allow it to sweep away our darkness, penetrate and illuminate the deep crevices of our souls. We should joyfully embrace the light and say, in our hearts, I get it, Lord, I get it. Thank you. Epiphany brings reassurance. They that dwell in the land of darkness, upon them the light has shined. But Epiphany also brings challenge. When the light shines brightly, do we embrace it and rejoice?
Amen.